The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It really does.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposo with my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How are you, brother?
I am doing well, and you?
I'm doing good. And our trusted producer, Liam, how are you, pal?
I'm doing great.
Great.
Just
okay.
Hanging out.
Everybody's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Everybody's good. What?
What?
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
Yeah.
I don't feel that bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Well, for your
Maybe
age.
Maybe bright-eyed.
For your age. I think you are.
Hey, the older the violin, the sweeter the music, buddy. So we're here.
Don't break any strings.
Digressing. Broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio, and we are streaming live all around the world. KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And if you have a comment or a question or want to get in on the conversation, the phone number is 530-605-4567. We do have a guest on the line, but before we get to her, I'd like to bring up a fundraiser.
Okay, yep.
And this is a fundraiser for Chris Kellstrom, and this is for the Shasta Board of Supervisors, District 5. And this is going to be held on September the 8th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Shasta County, in Anderson, actually. And it will be doors opening at 4 o'clock. It starts at 6:30.
And that's a Thursday night.
Yes, it's
just
a Thursday night.
Just so everybody knows, it's a Thursday night. Doesn't interrupt your weekend.
And Arthur Gorman, who is running for a school board position.
Yep, for SCOE, for Shasta County Office of Education.
And Jackie LaBarbera, who is running for
Anderson Unified.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And they're both going to also be speakers there. So it's going to be great. It's going to have a great dinner. You can buy a table for $400. It seats 8 people. You get $200 in raffle tickets. And, of course,
get to hang out with some Patriots.
The 8 dinners. And then if you just want to get a ticket yourself, it's $50. And it should be a lot of fun. So anyway, support Chris Kellstrom, running for supervisor, District 5. Well, we have on the line a young lady I met. My wife and I met in Crescent City, and her husband opened up a restaurant. And the reason I wanted to have her on for the first segment here, for about the first 10, 15 minutes, is she had a very interesting story about how they left everything and they just produced their dream. They went out and had a dream to do something and did it. And so, with that, Jennifer Schmidt. How are you, Jennifer?
Good morning, Terry. I'm great. Thank you for having me this morning.
Sure. Well, tell us a little something about you and your husband.
Yeah, so my husband and I, yes, we live in Crescent City. We are not from Crescent City. I'm from the West Coast. He's from the Philadelphia area. And we've lived here for 13 years. We absolutely love this community. We're raising our children here. And we opened a restaurant. And we opened a restaurant in a really interesting time to be starting a new business.
During COVID?
Yes.
Yeah. So the background there, my husband was in a corporate management job for, you know, times 25 years with the same company. I had been working within the schools where my children were going to school. That worked out great for our family. But we always had a dream to pursue opening a restaurant. And the reason for that, way, way back early on, my husband had a love of New Orleans and Cajun cuisine and Creole cuisine, and he learned how to create the food from a friend of his that was a chef. His friend's name was Gennaro Polano, had a restaurant called Gennaro's in Pennsylvania, prior to opening his own restaurant, he was the sous chef for Paul Perdome in New Orleans. And so this is someone who really knew his craft and really knew the food. Taught my husband how to create the cuisine, and not recipes, but the blends of spices and vegetables and meats and so on. So my husband just loved it and created his own recipes. And always, well, we had this kind of dream, just for fun, to start a pop-up kitchen. And, you know, my husband shared that with me. And I said, well, heck yeah, let's do it. And so we started in Pennsylvania making just jambalaya, just my husband's jambalaya, and shrimp skewers, you know, shrimp on a stick, our original recipes, at music festivals and street fairs and things like that. And we absolutely loved it. And, you know, I think most people out there have a hobby or something that they love to do that they don't do it for the money. They probably spend more money on it, you know, than anything else. But what it does, you know, for their spirit, for themselves, is provide inspiration and fun and an outlet. And everybody has that. I think most people do anyway. So we started this business doing these things on the weekend, weekend warrior style. That grew, and we thought, wow, you know, this really is something. We had a staff at one point, even though we were only doing it on the weekends. And we eventually moved from the greater Philadelphia area to Crescent City, which is, you know, about as opposite as it could be in every aspect. My husband went from, you know, this big job to a small store with three employees. Crescent City has a population of 8,000, and it's very remote. So there were no music festivals happening here. But we just loved what we were doing, so we continued doing fundraisers and events and things like that, always with the retirement plan, and I do that with, you know, quotations around it, of this dream of having a brick-and-mortar restaurant. And he was getting ever more burned out in his career, although he loved who he was serving and what he was doing. There was just a lot there that wasn't working, you know, for our family, and just the lack of inspiration when you're in that type of a job.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of people, they've had their dream taken. Now, that didn't deter you two when you got to Crescent City. So when did you actually open the restaurant that you're in right now?
Right. So a location came up, and this was the idea came up around, it was February of 2020. And we dove on it. You know, we thought, wow, this is really our opportunity. We had had this dream. We had, you know, done the legwork. We know that we can keep at this even when the going gets tough. We know that we love it. We know how to be in business, right? I mean, you have to have those foundations to pursue your dream and make it work financially. So we finally quit our jobs. We gave ample notice. We gave 6 weeks notice to open this restaurant, and the location was amazing. It's, you know, right on the beach. You were there the other day, Terry. And it was kind of a this point in time where we were presented with everything, our wildest dream, right in front of us. And what do you do with that? Do you dive on it, or do you say, no, the timing isn't right. No, I don't want to leave my job. We have insurance, et cetera, et cetera. But we didn't do that. We said, this is our wildest dream, so we're going to do it. And so we resigned from our jobs. We got the keys to the restaurant. This was happened to be a Friday, March 13th, 2020. And on Sunday, 2 days later, all over the news was all restaurants in California need to cease operation immediately because of COVID. And so we got the restaurant 2 days before COVID, which was, you know,
wow,
exciting and surprising. And although we all had been hearing about COVID for, you know, several weeks, certainly didn't think it would impact us like it did. And then it was 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We're going to do this thing for 2 weeks. And we all know how that turned out. That's not what it looked like.
Well,
but, so we
I think you're right. I mean, the thing that really happened with that, I mean, we were told in Shasta County that, you know, about 80% of our population would get this thing. And here, We ended up getting very few cases, and of course, most of the people that quote died from COVID, they're now saying they died from unknown. So I guess unknown's a new disease now.
Right, exactly.
So you got into this thing right in the smack dab in the front of COVID. What were some of the obstacles that you had to hurdle?
Well, the first obstacle is we just opened a restaurant that we can't open. And we didn't have other streams of income, you
sure,
know.
Right.
The very first obstacle was, okay, what do we do? So we knew we had, or we would be able eventually to open as takeout only, and that's not how we had envisioned
mm-hmm.
it. You know, our menu was crafted for a sit-down restaurant. So
mm-hmm.
our very first thing was redo the menu. Not redo, but restructure the menu for what would work for takeout. There's a lot of things that you just can't take out. They get soggy or, you know, the quality of the product isn't going to be maintained. And so the very first thing we did was take our four-page menu and whittle it down to a one-page menu.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we were kind of going back to our roots because our business started as a takeout business. And so we didn't have to reinvent the wheel in terms of how do we do that. We just needed to pivot back to what we knew we could do well. The other obstacle was, okay, we're opening. Nobody knows us, right? We're not an established restaurant. And we can't afford a staff. So what is that going to look like? Well, you know, the need to embody leadership, the true entrepreneurial spirit, if this is going to work, I'm willing to do what it's going to take to make this work. And so we opened with a staff of one, and we did all the things, which in the beginning looked like very long hours, very long days. You know, those were the two biggest obstacles. We're just, wow, this vision doesn't at all look like what we thought it was going to look like. How do we make it work? How are we going to pivot? How are we going to adapt? What are our strengths? Where can we, you know, still plug this in and hit the ground running? And so that's what we did.
Yeah, you know, the interesting part about this, and by the way, I'm going to give you a shameless plug. It's the House of Jambalaya. It's located at 110 Arbor Way, Crescent City, and you've got to try it. It is absolutely delicious. Also, the Schmitz can be reached at www.jambalaya.house. And it's pretty exciting. It's a great little restaurant. You know, and the reason that I wanted to have you on is because you inspired me with your story. And Sal and I were both inspired over the fact that you took on all these obstacles and you followed your dream. And right now, I think that that's an issue we have with our government. They're taking our dream. It's sort of like nothing can happen. Everything's negative. Rather than going out there and saying, okay, well, this is my dream, and I'm going to follow through no matter what. And,
yeah.
And you know, when you said, you know, Jennifer, that we were going to do this no matter what, you had burned the ships. You were on the land with your army, and you had burned the ships. There was no going back now. So when did you finally, when did things really start to break for you? About how long did it take you for things really start to break in your restaurant?
You know, it wasn't long. I mean, it's really fascinating.
How'd you stay open?
How did we stay open? Yeah, because we did what we were doing really well.
Well, I have a quick question for you, Jennifer.
Yeah.
You're in a
yeah.
town of 8,000 people
mm-hmm.
that was essentially closed down. So how did you do the business? How did that work?
Yeah.
There are, you know, I want to speak to the entrepreneurial spirit and the mindset of somebody committed to their success. What we did was commit. And all of our friends, you know, would, oh my gosh, they're wringing their hands for us. We didn't have to worry. Everybody was worried enough for us. But everybody said, what's your plan B? And Terry, I told you this story the other day. We said, there is no plan B. We could have, because it was only 2 days later, we could have gone back to our jobs and said, hey, this is crazy. But we didn't, because that's not how we viewed success. And that would have been turning our back on our dream that was right in front of us. You know, we had created this opportunity for ourselves, and why would we turn our back on it? And so some things during COVID kind of worked in our favor. We're at this beachside town in this very tiny community right on Highway 101. So anybody traveling has to drive through Crescent City if you're on the coast. And nobody could fly. Disneyland was closed. Everywhere was closed. And so during that summer, people took to the roads with their families and went on road trips. And the beaches, our beach was, you know, very full. So what we did was really make takeout work. And, the outside seating. We just put as many tables out there as we could. We served the people in every way possible to create a wonderful experience. And so we quickly gained word of mouth. We got amazing, you know, five-star after five-star after five-star rating. And I don't say that from a place of ego and bragging. I say that from a place of deep gratitude, because our commitment to our vision is what made it succeed. We wouldn't have succeeded if we would have done it, you know, with a different attitude. Our attitude was, we're going to do this the best we can every minute of every day, providing excellence. And that's demanding excellence of ourselves, expecting excellence of our staff. We were able to get a staff of two and then eventually three. And, you know, eventually last summer we had a staff of 14, which is incredible. But what worked for us was really knowing our product, of course, knowing our strengths and weaknesses, utilizing our strengths, and then being really honest. This is an area I'm not strong in. I need to grow that part of myself, you know, in business practices and so forth. But in terms of how we succeeded, it was just getting out there and doing it fearlessly. And the fearless commitment to our dream. And, you know, when I say fearless, of course, there were moments of freaking out, like,
sure.
Holy smokes, what have we done?
Right. Well, you know, and that's
what if the people don't come?
That's the thing. I really think it's the persistence. And, you know, you're a delight. Feel free to call in any time. And, oh, by the way, if you want your friends to all hear this, we archive every program we do and we have done. And you can find that on kcnr1460.com. Feel free to share that on Facebook or whatever. We're on Facebook, but feel free to share your interview with as many people as you want. It's all yours. And it was exciting meeting you. And we will be back over there. And again, House of Jambalaya, 110 Anchor Way, Crescent City.
Arbor Way.
Yeah. Arbor Way. Did I say Anchor?
No, Anchor Way. You're
it
right.
Is Anchor.
Anchor Way.
Oh, it is Anchor.
It is Anchor.
Anchor.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Wim. Okay, so.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me on, Terry. And I just, you know, I wanted to add, anybody out there that feels inspired,
yes,
you know, to make a change in your life, I think when we follow our inspiration and have that backed up with commitment to it,
yes,
you will be successful. You'll be successful. And I just would love to inspire people to follow their dream as well.
The Schmitz. House of Jambalaya. I love
thanks,
it.
Terry.
I love it. Jennifer, have a wonderful day. Thanks for calling in. And folks, if you're in Crescent City, stop in and get some of that delicious food that they've got there. It is amazing. So with that.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Have a great day, hon. So with that, you know, I wanted to bring that story up, Wynn, and the reason I did is because I was inspired. I mean, there's a lot more to it, of course,
right,
that they went through. And it's very inspiring to think that they had to go through COVID. They started their business then. They eventually just opened up.
They just did it.
They just did it. And the thing is that we have to understand that we do have rights, and we have the right, definitely, to own a business for our, the government can't interfere in that. Now, of course, in Crescent City, you're talking about Del Norte County, which is a little less conservative,
mm-hmm,
than some of the other counties out
like
there.
Like the county below it.
Like the county below it, Humboldt. And so, you know, yeah, when you have all that, you have an issue to where you're, you're really trying to do the right thing and try to do the things the community you want you to. And again, they were fairly new to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially opening a business, you know, that's a whole other animal.
Especially in a small town.
Especially in a small town.
Yeah.
So, anyway, great place to eat, a lot of fun, and I really admired, her and her husband's persistence and not letting tyranny get in the way of their dream. I want to, go back to Chris Kellstrom's fundraiser and let folks know, you can get tickets, for Chris Kellstrom's fundraiser at the Shasta District Fair again, Thursday, September 8th. Doors open at 4, dinner's at 6:30. You can get a table, $400.
Are you saying that the tickets are on sale at the fair?
No. I'm saying that.
That's where it's going to be held.
That's where it's going to be held, okay, is at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, just
want to it's a out. Table of 8 for $400. It includes 8 dinners, $200 in raffle tickets, and you can get your tickets at Jones Fort, Dill's Deli, and Woody's barbershop.
There we go.
So, had an interesting trip over on the coast. Also caught up on a few things, and I really, I was listening to Dan Bongino on the
who?
Dan Bongino. Yeah, was that the right way to pronounce it?
No, you said it right. Yes,
did I
yes,
say
yes,
it right?
Yes, I've okay. been sarcastic.
There. Okay. Anyway, yes. So he brought up something that we brought up on this show a lot of times. I'm not saying he heard it from us or we heard it from him or whatever, but it was
we're on the same page.
On the same page, and it was really interesting because when you stop and think about how, you know, we always talk about, oh, you know, the rank and file of the FBI or the rank and file of the CIA, they're just really good guys. They're just, you know, no. The rank and file carry out, in fact, in a lot of cases are worse than the people, in my opinion, that give them the order to do something. They take an oath to the Constitution.
Two constitutions. Typically.
Well,
typically.
If you're in California yeah. or whatever other state you're
yep.
in.
Yep.
But the point is that, you know, these FBI agents that went in and did what they did to Trump, it was illegal, unconstitutional. They should have never gone in on that. Now, Jesse.
Immoral and unethical on
yeah,
top of it.
On top of it.
Yeah.
And Jesse Watterson made a comment that the FBI now has 12 whistleblowers. It should be 1,200 whistleblowers.
Or more.
Or more. And so I am tired of this. It's kind of like LaVoy Finicum. He wasn't shot by a higher-up. He was murdered.
He was murdered by a guy on the ground.
And so and it's just like this diary that was discovered in a halfway house by two addicts that were there. They found it underneath a mattress, and it happened to be Biden's daughter's diary. Mm-hmm. Well, the FBI found out about it and arrested these two guys. Now, the FBI is now just a Gestapo. The FBI should be disbanded.
Because they're doing their job, right?
And they're not doing their job because what they're doing is acting as an arm of the Democrat Party. They have no business being in the things that they're doing and doing the things that they're being involved in. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the whole situation, I'm just tired of hearing the boots on the ground. Oh, these guys are good guys. I know that even Dan Bongino talk about a certain host, which was basically Sean Hannity, because mm-hmm. Sean had talked about the rank and file guys being okay, and Bongino said, I was a rank and file guy, and I quit the CIA because I saw what they were doing and what they were becoming. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone is calling for the FBI to be dismantled, and I think that's true. I think it should be. You know, the thing is we, you know, when you have an army of people that are going out and taking away the constitutionally protected rights of our citizens and doing it in a violent manner. I had a pastor yesterday, bring up to me, I was in a conversation with how the FBI goes and breaks down doors of these people. They don't just knock and say, hi, I'm from the FBI and I just got a couple of questions, you know. And, I mean, when you stop and think about the tyranny that we have in basic some law enforcement groups, I mean, it's like, you know, when you stop and think about it, even the police are so much more militarized than they were 20, 25 years ago. I mean, it's basically, they're outfitted like military people going to combat, you know, and you look at that and you kind of question it. Now, I'm not saying that police are bad. I'm just saying that the change of what and it's like for their protection. Well, what about the protection of the people? You know?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I guess we all need to get bulletproof vests and get our sidearms and, you know, have our long rifles in this sort of piece of our car.
If we were open carrying here in California, it would be a much more polite society because, you know, then the criminals are going to have to think twice about who they're going to bother. And that all goes back to the bureaucracy. The bureaucrats that run it, that most probably have never been boots on the ground, and then they just want to win at all costs because they're being forced to do it, or they just have that control factor going on. And then you think about the culture of the agencies that are there.
Oh, man.
For the culture from the top down and from bottom up. You know, how is that culture working for the taxpaying citizens who support and finance these agencies? It's not.
Well, again, if you have a question or a comment about this issue, because it was So it was very enlightening to hear all these pundits. And normally I don't listen to anything on Fox News. And I did, while we were over on the coast, I did because Sally had it on her phone.
Yeah.
And it's what we heard. But I was so amazed on how they didn't pull any punches at all when it came to, hey, the rank and file is the problem. They all should be fired, quote,
yeah.
Dan Mangino.
Yeah.
With that, we're going to go off to our first break.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
You bet.
Well, as a step back with these seas, you gotta watch your step up there. And in Los Angeles, with all the homeless kids, the tents and drugs are everywhere. You never lose some drops on 15,000 bucks on wine. But in the rest of the state, with all the mess.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Whiskey for my men and beer for my horses.
Yeah, I noticed they didn't say anything about water.
They didn't say anything about water.
That's for fighting.
That's for fighting.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that looks like we might have a caller on the line here. It looks like it. Yep.
Okay, so how do we ensure, you know, that the culture that we were just talking about a moment ago with either law enforcement, whether it's, you know, FBI, some state troopers, CHP, police, sheriff's deputies, how do we ensure compliance with that?
We dismantle the FBI.
Yeah.
We dismantle the FBI. We dismantle
and that'll trickle
the CIA.
Down?
And, you know, there's a lot of things I think that we need to take and dismantle. I think we need to rearrange the police departments. I think that the sheriff should be the chief law enforcement officer of the county, period. And I think that, you know, I'm vacillating on whether or not a police chief should be elected or not. But the thing is that the accountability of the, and really even local law enforcement isn't really is huge a problem is the FBI, a.k.a. the Gestapo. Janet, how are you, my dear?
Good morning. Good morning. I have a comment about that rank and file business.
Well, you go right ahead. We want to hear it.
Oh, okay. Don't think that it is just at the FBI level. And don't place too much confidence in state and local agencies. I have a family member who was a member of a prestigious state agency. And at one time in his career, he was asked to do something that was illegal. And he stood up and said, no, I won't. That is illegal. I refuse. And he took the full brunt of his decision. And his life was made miserable, and he eventually left the agency because of that. But he left with his head held high, knowing that he had done the right thing, and he had not violated the Constitution that he took an oath to uphold.
Amen. That's a great statement.
Hats off to him, Jan.
Hats off to him. And you're so right about that, Jan. And I know Dan Bangino left, and I know that... you know, in a lot of cases, standing up like that may be hard to do, but, you know...
It was miserable, and it was hard on his family, but it would have been harder for him to slink through his life knowing that he had violated his oath.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, there is no justification for this. There's no justification for the FBI to even exist. And that's, you know, and many other agencies... It's the same thing, and that's what we've talked about in Jefferson, you know, that we need to have an accountability of the people that we elect and an accountability of the people that are in these agencies, depending on which ones we have.
And they also earn their paychecks from our tax dollars.
Exactly.
So we need to make sure that they truly understand that.
That's right, and it was difficult for this family member to walk away from that paycheck and that career, but... It was also difficult to stay and not do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's the integrity of the person you're talking about. And
it doesn't always stop at one time either. Once they have you, then they can manipulate you into future infractions, if you will.
That's right. Once you have taken a step off the line, the slope is very slippery.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's the problem. I mean, if I hear one more time that the rank and file are, they're all fine, it's just the upper management, I'm going to puke because I'm so tired. You know, I'm tired of that. It's such the opposite. The rank and file should be standing up saying, no, we won't do that.
And if they all did, problem solved.
Right.
And this family member used to refuse to listen to Hannity with his rank and file stories. Yes.
You know, and I mean, and, you know, Bongino just put him down. I mean, I was pretty amazed because I don't listen to Fox that much, but I did a little bit more being on the road like we were. And I did a little bit more. It was basically Waters, Bongino, and Tucker Carlson. That was it. I can't handle the other ones. But the point being is that the idea of them calling, and every one of them, every one of those three pundits, every one of them said that the FBI should be disbanded, should be done. And I can't even believe we still have that Gestapo agency. And look what they've done with the IRS, Janet. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously, they are all corrupt mafia-type organizations. But I have a solution. I mean, you're big on solutions. So I believe that the particular state agency that I am talking about should be disbanded, and I think that all of the functions of that agency should go to the local sheriff's departments, and I think that all of the money that funnels into our state should go to the counties first. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're talking about Jefferson. Hey, what agency are you talking about?
I'm biased.
What agency are you talking about?
I'm talking about the California Highway Patrol.
Yeah, I figured you were. I mean, what they did in Sacramento. We were there speaking, and the Freedom Angels. A lot of people started, were on the lawn out there, and as the story goes, the Highway Patrol at this initial event didn't have masks on or anything. All of a sudden, the team comes over with the helmets and all this stuff, and you know, 80% of these people are women and kids. And, you know, it's like they were dragging, literally dragging these women who wouldn't move off the lawn because they shouldn't have to. Gavin Newsom told the Highway Patrol, get those people off my effing lawn. And when that comment was made, the Highway Patrol in lockstep marched and did that. Now, I did hear after that event, and there's more to it than that, but after that event, I did hear that a dozen of them quit. Anyway, Janet, my dear, we're great to hear from you, as always. Need to have you on the program soon. Let's get that set up. And I do have another call on the line that we've got to take. Steve, are you there? Hello? Liam, what's going on?
Beats me. I'll try and get a hold of him.
Yep. Sound like, okay. we had a noise, but
we didn't have anything.
Okay.
Okay, well, anyway,
she's not wrong.
Oh, she's right on, she's right about the Highway Patrol. I mean, that was an awful situation. I mean, these guys just lined up across that lawn, and then in fact, is he back? Are you there, Steve?
Yeah, I'm here. I was trying to listen through my computer, and that's when you turned me on. So,
what happened is we were getting feedback from your computer, so we couldn't hear you, and all we could hear was your computer. Go ahead.
Yeah, I came around to the back porch here. Hey, one thing I do for this, trying to get the sheriffs and whoever involved on the police state action, is I pull up next to him. Anytime I see him sitting there, I pull up next to him and talk to him. Treat him like an American and like a normal human being and talk to him and try to educate him about what's going on if they don't know what's going on and the power of the sheriff. But I talk to him, and most importantly is I wave to every single one of them. I stick my hand out the window and I wave to them. If every one of us were waving to every one of these people that we pass by, it would get their attention.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think being friendly is always good, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about an agency in the FBI that raids people.
The
police rank and file. I'm almost done. The police rank and file.
I wasn't done yet. You know, they are in our neighborhoods. They live in our neighborhoods. They are one of us. But when we do not talk to them and communicate with them as one of us, then they tend, because of all of the education that they get, just like the elementary schools, they're turning against us, and we can't let that happen. We have to stop and talk to them and wave to them especially.
Are you talking education or indoctrination, Steve?
Education, of course. Okay. Education about the Constitution and Agenda 21.
Well, they don't teach that at the Academy. That's what Wynn was going to bring up. They don't teach that anymore at the Academy.
Of course they don't. And that's what I'm saying, is that when we talk to them, we pull over next to them. Up here it's a little easier than you guys down there because we can... You know, there's not so many of them, and we have open spaces everywhere where they're sitting, and we can pull up next to them. But most importantly, I wave to all of them. I've been doing it for a couple of years, and I have all over the back of my truck. You know, I have a camper shell, so I have a posse member. I used to be a posse member. I have my Zig, emblem for carrying, and support the police, and da-da-da-da-da. I had one guy... You know, pull me over because I was going fast. I was going really fast down a country road to meet a guy for lunch. And he said, "Why are you going so fast?" And I'm trying to meet a guy. And he goes, "Well, just slow down." I don't know because I had all the...
Well, yeah, and I hear all that, and it's good. That's good. I mean, that's good, and you're right. We need to do that. They are part of the community. But, again, the conversation is more about other agencies rather than...
I don't believe
it's up to us to educate the police department. It is, as good citizens and friends,
it's
good citizens. We need to be friendly, but I think that when they go to the Academy, I think it would be a good idea for the people at the Academy and to push through in that curriculum.
But we can't do anything about that.
Well, we can help with the curriculum.
We can't do anything about that, but we can talk to them locally about our issues right here and make sure they hear us and understand us, because we can't go to their Academy and change their Academy. We can't go to the FBI and change their FBI. But we can talk to them here locally and make a difference. Just like everybody make an appointment with the sheriff and go talk to him. People won't do that. We have to talk to them. We have to let them know what we're trying to say. And we have to do it over and over and over again because they're so goddamn brainwashed. You know, I heard we had a lawyer up here from Redding with these fires we just had at the Klamath River. And all of these lawyers from Texas, everybody's coming up here trying to, you know, manipulate these young or these country people. Well, these two lawyers, from one from Redding, one from McLeod, came up here to try to protect the people from the other lawyers coming up here, you know, as they say. But the guy was clueless about Agenda 21 or State of Jefferson or anything, and same with the lady from McLeod. You know, so I sat there for 20 minutes talking to the guy, and he tried to cut me off. I said, no, the minute I try to tell you something about what's really going on, you want to cut me off. Now listen to me for a minute. Just let me have your ear for a minute. You know, so it's education.
Yeah, hopefully we can get some.
I love your program.
Well, one of the things we can do, though, and we can, as far as the Highway Patrol and as far as these schools go, we can get some legislation in there to do that. I mean, hopefully, I don't think we can do it on a federal level. It'll have to be a state level, but I mean, that's a good point. And we do need to be friendly to our police officers, and I think most of us are. In fact, I know that Wynn's son is a police officer. So, you know, I mean, it's the idea of the rank and file following orders that are illegal and unconstitutional. And that's kind of where we're going with that. And that really doesn't have as much to do with the everyday police officer or sheriff deputy. It has more to do with these other areas.
Your program is about local. You guys were talking about doing it local, and that's local. You know,
actually, we were talking about the FBI. Janet was calling in and talking about the FBI. Anyway, we got to go, brother.
Okay.
So thank you for
all
the call. Anyway, it's the kind of thing where, you know, the federal agencies and the agencies of the state, mm-hmm. the arms of the state,
right.
are kind of where we were going and where Janet was going with that.
Right.
I mean, the Highway Patrol is an arm of the state. It's basically the
But you made a comment just a second ago about changing it legislatively. We're not going to be able to do that.
Not in California.
Not in California because
no way.
Those that are in power and have the supermajority in the legislature here in California aren't going to do anything to help the citizens. Zero. Absolutely nothing. And for people to completely return these people to office, keep voting them back in.
Every time.
Every single time is beyond me. It just boggles my mind. And some of the rhinos that are in there as well, they need to be held accountable. And they're not being held accountable. They're always talking about reaching across the aisle, blah, blah, blah. Why? Do what you're sent to do there. You know, do the job you were elected to do. And for me, I'm very disappointed in all of them, every one of them. And they're not following the Constitution that they took an oath to the federal Constitution and to the state Constitution as state representatives. It's very, very frustrating. And I just, you know, the time has come for 51, let me tell you.
Oh, I'm telling you. The only way to solve this whole thing is a state split.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the issue. And, you know, there was talk about the sheriff and I don't know how we thought we were going local with the FBI, but anyway, the thing is that when you look at the sheriff, I know that you and I both talked to the sheriff at length. I've talked to him many times, our sheriff, all the sheriffs that we've ever had. I've talked to at length about different things, and you know, the idea of them not being educated in the Constitution is true. However, do they care? See, that's the main thing. I mean, it's sort of like we've got to do that for them. We, you know, so I guess we all get in our cars and follow police around and pull over and try to educate them on the Constitution. And I think that
they have to have a desire
to learn it. Exactly.
They have to have a desire
exactly.
to uphold the Constitution,
exactly.
follow the Constitution, which binds the government and not the sovereign citizens. And that is the thing everybody has to keep wrapping their head around. The Constitution is the playbook for which or by which the government is bound, not the citizens. And that's why they put legislation in there so they can create laws to bind the citizens and not the government. And it's done by the government who is supposed to be bound.
That's well put, and that's exactly correct. I mean, again, the idea of the militarization of and let's face it, it's cool to have all that stuff. You're a young guy, it's cool to have it. You think you're doing the right thing. You swallowed a lot of the liberal propaganda that you've had in school. and all that good stuff. And then you go to the academy and you aren't taught the Constitution and all that good stuff. But then by the same token, who were your parents? Did they talk about the Constitution? I mean, you know, who were the people that influenced you? Did they talk about the Constitution? So we can't blame everything on the educational system. Yes, it's a battle. Absolutely a battle. And absolutely we need to take over the school boards. No question about it, because that's where the power is.
That's right.
And we all know that. But
that's where the indoctrination is at a very early age.
So where does the responsibility lie for people in a job like law enforcement? Where does the responsibility for them to be accountable to themselves and learn the Constitution if they take the frickin' oath? If they take an oath, they take an oath.
Do they understand?
Did they take an oath to something they didn't read? I mean, is that up to us to say you didn't read it?
I would say probably a majority of them have done that. Yes, they take the oath, they raise their hand, and they take the oath, and they say the words, but do they understand the meaning behind the words? Do they understand what they're really committing to?
Yeah.
I know, that's just a million dollars.
Well, yeah, and it's not really hard. I mean, all they have to do is read the Bill of Rights if they don't read anything else.
Right.
I mean, it's just that simple. But, I mean, it's not, you know, and the Academy should teach them the Constitution. But, you know, if they don't, it's not up to, it's, they took an oath to it. Where are they adults?
Yeah.
That would be my question to someone who has a comment like we need to make sure we educate them. No, they took an oath. They are men and women. They are adults. Mm-hmm. And they took an oath to something they didn't read. So how does that equivocate into, you know, we need to sit down and talk to these guys about and educate them? I'm not saying that isn't a good conversation. I mean, I've had conversations with sheriffs and sheriff deputies about educating them on the penal code.
You know,
not saying that I'm a know-it-all, but the point is that they didn't even know about open carry permits in California. Counties under 200,000, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, if you can, as an employed individual, you know, who is working and who has bought a car and who has bought a house, and you go through the hurdles of signing all the documents that you have to sign. And I would hope and pray that when people are signing those documents, they read them.
No kidding.
Well, I would hope they would read them. I mean, because you're committing your life and your money to the context of the contract that you have obligated yourself to for a term of years when you buy a car or you buy a house. Why would you not do any more, or why would you do any less than with the Constitution when you take an oath? If you're taking an oath to the Constitution, it's not a very big read.
No.
It's not a very big read at all. And you just have to read it and read it for what it says. And understand it, and then you will have a better grasp on what you can do and what you cannot do.
Yeah, and you're right. And the thing is that that's the deal. If we have to take responsibility as citizens to go around and educate our police on the Constitution, I'm not saying don't be friendly. Of course, we're always friendly. But, I mean, we have to go educate, and then give me a break. They're adults.
Yep.
Bob, how are you?
Good morning.
Yes.
I don't believe in... talking unnecessarily to police either way. I mind my own business, and if they want to bother me, and they have to state their reason. But the FBI should be purely an investigative authority, and under the authority of at least the state's governor to even go in on a case, to be subordinate to the local law enforcement that's actually going to make the arrest and the search.
Well, let me ask you this. If they're working with local law enforcement, since it has to basically cross state lines, it has to be something, why would they be working in a lot of cases with local law enforcement? I know in our county there was an apparent threat to a couple of supervisors. Two, that there really wasn't anything substantiated. The other two, there was real threat. Why was the FBI involved in that, since that they basically found one of the people was a local person? Why was the FBI even involved in that? I mean, that's...
True. I agree with you completely.
Yeah, I mean, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's gone from the 1930s to where they were trying to apprehend bank robbers across state lines multiple times, to now... They come in with the authority in an intrastate affair, and that was never original charter.
Right. It's like what they did, you know, when those two guys wanted to sell Biden's daughter's diary. You know, what are they even doing in that? What's that going to do with the price of eggs? And she didn't get it stolen from her. It's like, you know, she left it in a halfway house. And so, you know, again, it's the type of thing where it's taking and owning the responsibility. Now, the FBI should be disbanded. I mean, I agree with Jesse Waters. I agree with Dan Bongino. I agree with Tucker Carlson. They need to be disbanded. There is no reason for the FBI. Zero.
I prefer that way, too. I really do. But once a bureaucracy starts, it just, you can never get rid of it.
It's totalitarianism. It's yeah. Not just...
You can defund it.
Yeah, that's exactly
defund
what they'll
it.
Do.
That's how you get rid of it.
That's how you get rid of it.
Good riddance.
Yeah.
The ATF just disbanded altogether. They do absolutely no good at all. A Board of Equalization auditor can check to see if your cigarette from the wholesaler have a tax stamp on it. You don't need the ATF for that. Alcohol, I mean, everybody buys bonded hard liquor. We don't buy from steals anymore. Just get rid of the ATF altogether. The U.S. Marshals, keep them on the border. Instead, they're turned on the interior of the country against American citizens.
That's right.
You know, I mean, people are coming across. We have no idea who the devil they are. And frankly, with this administration, I guess a terrorist is actually... almost invited it.
Well, yeah, the FBI is an arm of this administration. I mean, the FBI is an arm of the Democratic Party. I mean, look what they've done.
I mean, the U.S. Marshals. Supposedly they're after fugitives. That was their original purpose.
Yeah, that's
okay,
true.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Hey, Bob, thanks for the call. Have a great day. Bye. You know.
Yeah, everybody's got their thoughts on it, and it's good to hear what everybody has to say about it, but it sounds like, you know, more people support to, you know, that we've engaged with over the years to disband these kind of things because of what they've been doing to us, the taxpayers who support them in their paycheck. They get their paycheck from us, the taxpayer. And so why would we pay somebody to give us all this grief? Don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I know. It goes back to, you know, we let them. It all goes back to that. And I know that we had a movie director, Renee Perez who was on our program
last week.
And on Matt's program this morning. So if you didn't get a chance to hear our program from last week, I would suggest you listen to him this morning. He's on Matt's show, Liberty Unabashed. And I think that, it was just, you know, I mean, this is a guy that is just trying to speak the truth.
Yeah.
And has the First Amendment right to do it, yet they blackball them.
Yep.
And, you know, he's been confronted by law enforcement. Yeah.
All the more reason to support him. All the more reason to support him.
You know, I just don't know what's going to be enough. But I will say this. I have noticed that, and I'm sure that some of these pundits that are out there, you know, the Hannitys and those guys that are just, they're just lockstep, you know, walk in line guys. And you hear all this stupid stuff and rhetoric coming out of their mouth when people like Tucker Carlson and again, Dan Bongino, and again, Jesse Waters, to a degree. You hear these guys and these guys are coming up and they're talking about, hey, this is what we need to do. These agencies need to go, you know, so, to me, we have to start understanding that we have to take control as the people. And that's why I go back to militarizing the police is wrong. I think it's wrong. Okay? The thing is that anything that a police officer is able to have, we should have as citizens. They're our employees. This whole thing is such a mess that we need to clean it up and clean it up now. And I would submit to you, there is no other way to clean this mess up than to go ahead and make sure that we split this state into several states so that we can have smaller government and we are able to control the election process. We are able to control our boards of supervisors. We are able to control our school boards and we are able to control the fact that our vote needs to count.
Amen.
And that's we the people.
All right, and don't forget to listen to us on Mountaintop Media on our podcast. We do it on Mondays, and we release on Monday evenings.
Monday evenings.
MountaintopMedia.com, and there are several shows on there you might want to listen to. And
Mark Baird tomorrow.
There you go.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.